Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc., and those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is show number 444. We're in the book of Acts. We will be beginning with chapter 18. There's not a lot of notes in these two sections that I'll start out with, 18 and 19. Just a few. So it'll give you a chance to write them down at your leisure. In case you have missed any of my shows, they're all in the archives on my website. I have to give the whole thing because people have just been Googling Pastor Steve and they're getting all kinds of strange things. So it's https://... www.pastor-steve.com. So some people have spelled pastor wrong, and there's a bunch of people going by Pastor Steve, and it brings up all kinds of stuff. Let's get started in the book of Acts here. Verse 1 of chapter 18. And after this, Shaul left Athens and went to Corinth. Verse 2. And he found a certain Yahudi named Aquilus, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Yahudim to leave Rome. And he came to them. Verse 3. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and was working, for they were tent makers by trade. Verse 4. And he was reasoning in the congregation every Shabbat and won over both Yahudim and Greeks. Those were Hellenes, okay? The Israelites that had been living under Greek dominion. Verse 5. And when Silas and Timotheus came down from Macedonia, Shaul was pressed by the Spirit and earnestly witnessed to the Yahudim that Yeshua is the Messiah. Verse 6. However, when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood is upon your head. I am clean. From now on, I shall go to the nations." And he's speaking here of the nations in dispersion, okay? Verse 7. And having left there, he came to the house of a certain man named Justus, who worshipped Elohim, whose house was next to the congregation. Verse 8. And Crispus, the ruler of the congregation, did believe in the Master with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were immersed. They baptized him. Verse 9. And the Master spoke to Shaul in the night by a vision. Okay, Yeshua spoke to him. "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not be silent." Verse 10, "Because I am with you, and no one shall attack you to do you evil, because I have much people in this city." So there was a pretty good congregation there that were believers on Yeshua. Okay. Verse 11. And he remained a year and 6 months teaching the word of Yahweh among them. Verse 12. And when Gallion was proconsul of Achaia, the Yehudim with one mind rose up against Shaul and brought him to the judgment seat. Now, these are the Judeans, okay? They probably had Edomites in among them. It does not mean they were living in the land of Yehuda, okay? Does not mean they were of Yehuda. They never make that quite clear enough in any text, so I feel compelled to explain that. They rose up against Shaul and brought him to the judgment seat, verse 13, saying, "This one does seduce men to worship Elohim contrary to the Torah." Now that was an out-and-out lie. All right? That was nothing but a straight-up lie, because he did not do that. Absolutely not. Verse 14. And as Shaul was about to open his mouth, Gallion said to the Yahudim, these are probably Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked recklessness, O Yahudim, that would be reason why I should bear with you. Now, this guy was the proconsul. He's a Roman proconsul. Verse 15, but if it is a question of words and names and a law which is among you, see to it yourselves, for I do not wish to be a judge of these matters. Verse 16, and he drove them away from the judgment seat. In other words, y'all take care of your own business. Don't bring your personal squabbles here. All right. Verse 17, and all the Greeks, those are the Hellenes, took Sothenes, the ruler of the congregation, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallion showed no concern whatever. Verse 18. And for verse 18, here's a note. You can reference Numbers chapter 6, verse 18. That's Numbers 6, 18. And Shaul, having stayed several days more, having taken leave of the brothers, was sailing for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him, having shaved his hair at Kenchrea, for he had taken a vow. He had taken a Nazarite vow. And he shaved his head and took the vow, and then from then on, until the vow was completed, he would not cut his hair. Verse 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself went into the congregation and reasoned with the Yahudim. They use the same word, Yahudim, for Israelites of the tribe of Judah. They don't distinguish. You have to get that out of the context of what you're reading. I needed a little coffee there. Verse 20. And when they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he declined, but took leave of them, saying, I have to keep this coming festival in Jerusalem by all means, but I shall come back to you, Elohim desiring so. And he sailed from Ephesus. All right, well, you see the different reaction of these Yahudim, which leads me to believe that they were Israelites of the tribe of Yehuda. They wanted to hear more. It was getting to them. They really were receptive. Okay, verse 22. And having come to Caesarea, going up and greeting the assembly, he went down to Antioch. Verse 23. And having spent some time there, he went forth, passing through the country of Galatia, and on through Phrygia, strengthening all the taught ones. In other words, he was giving spiritual reinforcement to those that were believers. Okay, verse 24. And a certain Yahudi named Apollos, born at Alexandria, a learned man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Okay. See, he had a Greek name. and he was born in Alexandria, but he was of the tribe of Yehuda. Verse 25, this one had been instructed in the way of the master. In other words, he had heard all about Yeshua. And being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching the matters about the masters exactly, though he knew only the immersion of Yohanan. He had never been baptized in the name of Yeshua. Okay, verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the congregation. And when Aquilas and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of Elohim more exactly. In other words, they instructed him on some stuff. He might have made a few errors, and they were straightening him out in a gentle manner. Let me get a little hit of coffee here. Oh, that's hot. Verse 27. And when he intended to pass through to Achaia, the brothers, having encouraged him, wrote to the taught ones to receive him who, having arrived, greatly helped those who believed through favor. Verse 28, for with the power he refuted the Yaudim publicly, showing from the scriptures that Yeshua is the Messiah. In other words, he challenged the Jews. Okay, let's call them Jews here, the Yaudim. Well, they were Judeans, but probably, you know, if they were denying Yeshua and were doing the Talmud, he challenged them and beat them down with words. For with power he refuted the Yaudim publicly, showing from the scriptures that Yeshua is the Messiah. That's pretty powerful right there. This was a dangerous time for anybody that was teaching that Yeshua was Messiah, because the Edomites in the congregation of the Yehudim were plotting against everybody and were killing people. Now we're going to get into that. That ends chapter 18. We're going to get into this killing business. They're really trying to kill Shaul, Paul. Okay. They're really going to get on him bad and try to kill him. They're going to lay in wait. They're going to plot. These are some real bad actors. They're like the ones today. Well, they had infested the congregation and were really leading the Israelites astray. So this is what he was dealing with at that time. Let's start into chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to be, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Shaul, having passed through the upper parts, came to Ephesus, and having found some taught ones, verse 2, he said to them, did you receive the set-apart spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no. We have not even heard that there is a set-apart spirit. Verse 3. And he said to them, into what then were you immersed? And they said, into Yohanan's immersion. That's John the Baptist. Okay. Verse 4. And for verse 4, here's some notes. You can reference Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew 3:11, Mark chapter 1, verses 4, 7, and 8. That's Mark 1, verses 4, 7, and 8. The book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 4 and 16. That's Luke 3, verses 4 and 16. And John, chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. There's verse 4. And Shaul said, Yochanan indeed immersed with an immersion of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in the one who is coming after him, that is, in Messiah, Yeshua. Verse 5. There's a baptism. Okay. And when they heard this, they were immersed into the name of the Master, Yeshua. Verse 6. And when Shaul had laid hands on them, the set-apart spirit came upon them, and they were speaking in tongues and prophesying. Verse 7. And all the men were about 12. Now, when they talk about speaking in tongues here, they're not talking about babbling in some unknown gobbledygook. These were languages that were understandable, that these men had never spoken before. They were given languages to speak where others from different lands would be able to understand them. Now, I just got back from the Feast of Tabernacles. We went down to the lake with a number of people, and Eli and I did baptism down there. We baptized a number of people in the name of Yeshua and Yahweh. Okay? That's necessary. And it was a blessed thing. Very, very spiritually powerful. And it was just a joyous occasion. Because that's what happens. Okay. Verse 8 of chapter 19. And having gone into the congregation, he spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the reign of Elohim. Kingdom theology again, okay? Verse 9. But when some were hardened and did not believe, speaking evil of the way before the crowd, he withdrew from them and separated the taught ones, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Verse 10. And this took place for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Master Yeshua, both Yehudim and Greeks. That's people of the tribe of Yehuda. And the Hellenes, who were Israelites that had come over from Greece, they were in dispersion. Verse 11. And Elohim worked unusual miracles through the hands of Shaul. Verse 12. so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the wicked spirits went out of them. Verse 13. But listen to this. But certain roving Yahudi exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Master Yeshua over those who had wicked spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by Yeshua, whom Shaul proclaims." Verse 14, and there were seven sons of a certain Skua, a Yehudi chief priest, who were doing this. They weren't, they were just using the name. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They weren't protected. Verse 15, and the wicked spirit answering said, "Yeshua, I know. And Shaul, I know. But who are you?" Verse 16. And the man in whom the wicked spirit was leaped on them, in whom the wicked spirit was, I didn't emphasize that correctly. And the man in whom the wicked spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. He ripped their clothes off and beat them up. Verse 17, and this became known to all, both Yahudim and Greeks, dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them, and the name of the Master Yeshua was made great. Verse 18. And many who had believed came confessing and declaring their deeds. They were repenting. Okay, verse 19. Listen to this. And many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together, burning them before all. They repented, stopped practicing magic, tore the books up, and burned them. Praise Yahweh. And they reckoned up the value of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Those were valuable books. People would pay big money for the magic books, okay? They burned them. Praise Yahweh. Verse 20. So the word of the Master was growing mightily and prevailing. Verse 21. Now, when these matters had been completed, Shaul purposed in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I have to see Rome too." In other words, the Spirit was taking him to Jerusalem, and then it was going to take him to Rome. Because he was heavy in the Spirit. The Spirit would tell him what to do. Verse 22. And having sent into Macedonia, that's Macedonia, okay, two of those assisting him, Timotheus and Erastus, he himself remained in Asia for a time. Verse 23. At about that time there came to be a great commotion about the way. Verse 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Artemis, provided no little business to the craftsman. Okay. Artemis was a female goddess. Okay. A Greek goddess. Pagan. Verse 25. Who, having called them together with the workers of similar trade, said, "Men, you know that our wealth is from this business." Verse 26, "And you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Shaul has persuaded and turned away a large number, saying that they are not mighty ones which are made with hands." In other words, our statues that we make are bunk. Verse 27, "And not only is this trade of ours in danger of coming to rejection, but also that the temple of the great female mighty one Artemis, whom all Asia and the world worship, shall be regarded as worthless and her greatness diminished." So they were worried about their pocketbook and their pagan goddess. Verse 28. "And having heard this, they were filled with rage and cried out, saying, 'Great is Artemis of the Ephesians.'" Verse 29. "And the entire city was filled with confusion, and they rushed with one mind into the theater, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Shaul's fellow travelers." They were preaching the name of Yeshua also. Verse 30. "And Shaul, intending to go in among the mob, the taught ones did not allow him." They held him back. Verse 31. "And some of the officials of Asia, being his friends, sent to him, begging him not to risk himself into the theater." Now, a theater back then was a big open area in a circle. There was a stage in the center, and it was like a coliseum, but not as grand. They had seats all around in circles, with a flat area down, and they put plays on, and they did all kinds of stuff. Verse 32. "Then others indeed shouted this, and others that, you know, this and that, for the assembly was confused, and most of them did not know why they had come together." They're just a big crowd, and the people just went to see what this crowd was about, so they increased the crowd. And they were arguing about this and that, and they didn't know what was going on. Verse 33. "And some of the crowd instructed Alexander the Yaudim, putting him forward, and Alexander motioned with his hand and wished to make his defense to the people." Verse 34, "But having recognized that he was a Yaudi, not a man of Judea, all with one voice cried out for about 2 hours, 'Great is Artemis of the Ephesians.'" They were shouting them down with the name of their goddess. Verse 35, "And the city clerk, having calmed the crowd, said, 'Men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is the guardian of the temple of the great female mighty one, Artemis, and of that which fell down from Zeus?" These were Zeus worshippers. They were pagans. They Greek pantheon of gods. Okay. Verse 36. Therefore, if these matters are undeniable, you need to be calm and do not act rashly. In other words, if all of this is true and she's the true goddess, why are you so upset? Verse 37. For you have brought these men here who are neither temple robbers nor speaking evil of your female mighty one. Verse 38. If truly then Demetrios and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. Let them accuse one another. Verse 39. And if you have any further complaint, it shall be settled in the regular assembly. Verse 40. For we are in danger of being accused of riot concerning today, there being no reason which we could give to account for this disorderly gathering. Verse 41. And having said this, he dismissed the assembly. He said, go home, you know. Stop this. Go home. And that ends chapter 19. So we're going to get into chapter 20. We've got quite a bit of time left. Verse 1 of chapter 20. After the uproar had ceased, Shaul called the taught ones to him, and having embraced them, went away to go to Macedonia. He gave them a big hug, and then he left. Verse 2. And having gone through those parts, and having encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece. Verse 3. Where he spent 3 months, when he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia, as a plot was made against him by the Yahudim. Okay, the Jews were plotting. Okay, because he was making a big dent in their congregations, and people were believing. Instead of going along with the Talmud, they were following Yeshua. Verse 4. And he was accompanied by Sopater of Beroea, and Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus and Tukikos, and Trophimus of Asia. Verse 5. And these, going ahead, waited for us at Troas. Verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came to them at Troas in 5 days, where we stayed 7 days. Verse 7. And on day one of the week, okay, this is Shabbat. That's what it says here. The taught ones, having gathered together to break bread, Shaul, intending to depart the next day, was reasoning with them and was extending the word till midnight. They were up late talking. Verse 8. And there were many lamps in the upper room where they were assembled. And verse 9, and a certain young man by name Eutychus was sitting in a window. They didn't have glass. He was just sitting in a window, open window, being overpowered by a deep sleep. As Shaul kept on reasoning, he was overcome by sleep and fell down from the third story and was picked up dead. He fell down three stories. And they thought he was dead. Verse 10. And Shaul, having gone down, fell on him and, embracing him, said, "Do not be upset, for his life is in him." That was healing. Okay, verse 11. Then going up again, and having broken bread and eaten, he talked a long while, even until daybreak, and so went forth. Verse 12, and they brought the young man in alive and were encouraged, not a little. That, I mean, wow, you know, he fell three floors and Paul lays on him and hugs him. And boom, here he is. He's up doing his thing. Verse 13, and we, going ahead to the ship, sailed to Assos, intending to take Shaul on board there. For so he had arranged, intending himself to go on foot. Verse 14, and when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. Verse 15, and from there we sailed, and the next day came opposite Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and remained at Trogulion. And the following day we came to Miletus. Verse 16. For Shaul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he might lose no time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of the festival of Shavuot. Okay, that's counted from the day on which the sheaf of the first fruits is waved during the festival of Matzah. That's unleavened bread. Okay. Verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the assembly. Verse 18, and when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia how I was with you all the time." Verse 19, serving the master with all humility, with many tears and trials which befell me, by the plotting of the Yahudim, okay, the Judeans, they plotted against him and anybody that was a Christian. Okay. Verse 20, as I kept back no matter that was profitable, but proclaimed it to you, and taught you publicly and from house to house, witnessing to Yahudim and also to Greeks, that's the Judeans and the Hellenes, okay, repentance toward Elohim and belief in our Master Yeshua Messiah. Verse 22. And now see, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, and not knowing what is going to meet me there, verse 23, except that the set-apart spirit witnesses in every city, saying that chains and pressures await me. In other words, they were going to lock him up. He's going to be assaulted, okay? He's going to go anyway, because that's what he's supposed to do. Verse 24 of chapter 20, and you can reference 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. This is Paul speaking. But I do not count my life of any value to me, so that I might accomplish my mission with joy and the service which I received from the Master Yeshua to bear witness to the good news of the favor of Elohim. In other words, he didn't care about his own life. He was going to go and preach the word even if he was killed. That's faith. That's very, very powerful. Verse 25. And now, see, I know that you all, among whom I went about proclaiming the reign of Elohim, shall see my face no more. In other words, when I leave, that'll be the last time you see me. Verse 26. Therefore I witness to you this day that I am clear from the blood of all. Verse 27, for I kept not back from declaring to you all the counsel of Elohim. Verse 28, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the set-apart Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the assembly of Elohim, which he has purchased with his own blood. Talk about Yeshua and the shedding of his blood. Verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves shall come in among you, not sparing the flock. Oh, boy, they're in among us today. And the notes on verse 29, Matthew 7, verses 15 through 23. Matthew 10, verse 16. That 7, 15 through 23, and 10, 16. Luke chapter 10, verse 3. That's Luke chapter 10, verse 3. John chapter 10, verse 12. John chapter 10, verse 12. And Acts 20, 29. Okay, that's this verse. That savage wolves, that's where all of that is mentioned. Verse 30. Let me get a little drink of coffee here. Verse 30. Also from among yourselves men shall arise, speaking distorted teachings, to draw away the taught ones after themselves, false pastors. Okay. We have those today. They want to have a following. It's all about themselves and their ego. You don't follow a man, you follow the word. That's what I teach all the time. Don't follow a man. Don't follow me. I might lead you astray. Follow the word, okay? Because I make mistakes too. Hey, I might make a mistake. Read the word for yourself. Read along. You know? Verse 31. Therefore, watch, remembering that for 3 years, night and day, I did not cease to warn each one with tears. Verse 32. And now, brothers, I commit you to Elohim and to the word of his favor, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those having been set apart. Set apart. Verse 33. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or garments. Verse 34. And you yourselves know that these hands supplied my needs, and for those who were with me. In other words, he worked. He was a tent maker. And he went around working in different communities and teaching and preaching. Verse 35. All this I did show you by laboring like this, that you ought to help the weak. In other words, support those that are unfortunate in your congregation. Okay. And remember the words of the Master Yeshua that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So if you help those that are in need, you'll be blessed. I was blessed. I came home, and in my mailbox was a very nice donation. I don't ask. Okay, Yahweh has people send me stuff. I don't ask. I leave that up to Yahweh. What he wants me to have, I will get. So thank you, Matthew, out there in California. I really appreciate what you've done. I needed it. And it came in. Bless you. Thank you, brother. Verse 36. And having said this, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Verse 37. And there was much weeping among them all, and falling on Joel's neck, they kissed him. Distressed, verse 38, distressed most of all because of the word which he had said that they would see his face no more. And they went with him to the ship. And that ends chapter 20. He was having a tearful farewell with his brothers and sisters. He wouldn't see them again. Paul's life was going to change because he was going to be arrested, etc., etc., and go to Rome. Eventually, in the future, he would be beheaded. All the disciples were executed. All of them. Because of their faith. They were assailed by these evil ones. The same ilk that we are assailed by today. Not much has changed, except it's getting really ferocious lately. More and more dangerous to be a true Christian. Even our own supposed Christian brothers and sisters are against us. They have their Judeo whatever, and if you don't go by their party line, the hate on you. Well, I'm just about done here, folks. I'll be back with you on the next show, and we will take up in chapter 21 of the book of Acts. Good reading today. It went rather quickly. Not a lot of notes. The notes tend to thin out toward the last part of this book. But may Yahweh bless and keep you, and I will talk to you again. And we'll continue in the book of Acts. So, praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Can't you?